very common chant they like to say. It goes something like J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Garrett Wilson, wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing.
There is no way.
Hey, it's a part of the script. Do it again.
Listen, we love you. We want it as badly as you do. We care about it as badly as you do. We're as pissed as you are. But we're asking you, I'm asking you, stick with us, to believe in us, to start manifesting positive things, not thinking about what could go wrong.
The NFL draft is now wrapped up, and we have nothing to look forward to for the next couple of months. I guess we have the schedule release to discuss. May 9th is when the schedule will come out. Hopefully the Jets get a favorable shake of the schedule. It seems like the last couple of years, the Jets have had quite the murderer's row to start off the season, but today is all about talking about the draft. It's Jake and Lorenzo, the Jets Way podcast, presented by our good friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Bro, didn't start off the way we wanted, all right? There was definitely some concerns, but I think at the end of the day, the Jets did pretty well this weekend. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah, I would definitely agree. I would say, like, just looking at the overall draft class and how all 3 days went, I would say we did pretty solid. I think my initial reaction to Olofinsuanu being the first round pick was, obviously I wanted a receiver, and I know we've talked about that for the past couple weeks about it, but I think getting Malachi Corley in the third was definitely huge for us. And I think Olofinsuanu is going to be a good player. Probably won't, or we hopefully doesn't have to play much this year and can learn from Tyron Smith, but I think that's going to be a good pick in the end of the day.
Well, let's start off with Olofinsuanu to kick off the draft recap here. Connor Livesey did another phenomenal job with the draft guide this year, followed along the whole weekend with the guide. The Jets actually got a very good value in undrafted free agency that I would like to discuss at the end of this, according to his guide. But let's start off first with the Jets' new left tackle, Olofinsuanu, or Fashanu, however you say his name. I don't even know, to be honest with you. Is it Fashanu or is it Fashanu? What did Goodell say? I didn't hear because I was too busy yelling.
I've been hearing Fashanu, so I'm going to go with that. But
okay.
Butchering it.
Okay. All right. So Olofinsuanu, Connor Livesey's number 8 overall player, number 2 tackle behind Joe Alt. So getting him at 11, the Jets traded back from 10 to 11 with the Vikings. The Vikings obviously seeing Michael Penix go at number 8, which I think was the shock of the entire draft. Vikings didn't want to waste any time. They got up to 10. They got J.J. McCarthy. The Jets acquired a 4th and a fifth in which they parlayed into moving up from 72 to 65 to get Malachi Corley in the third round. But it's Fashanu. At first, I was not happy. I have said all along in this entire process, if the Jets were to go with an offensive lineman, assuming Joe Alt is off the board, this is who I wanted. The biggest gripe I had with people was, what do you want to do at 10? Oh, offensive line. Well, who in particular? Do you think every single offensive lineman drafted in the first round is going to be just a booming success? Chances are probably 2, maybe 3 of these guys in the first round that are tackles will be anything. And hopefully Fashanu is one of those guys. I thought personally he was one of the 2 best tackles in the draft. I thought he was a pure left tackle. And if we were building the offensive line, I wanted to find the future left tackle. We talked, even when we lost that Patriots game, we were complaining that we couldn't get Alt, Fashanu, or Marvin Harrison. We thought this was a guy that could have gotten drafted in the top 5, fell for whatever reason a little bit. Didn't really fall that much. I mean, he was still pretty much a top 10 pick. But I wanted Brock Bowers. We don't always get what we want. The Jets actually never draft a player that I want, as a matter of fact. I think the last guy the Jets took that I wanted was probably Darnold, but I don't think that was too much going out on a limb. I mean, that was the guy that was number 1 overall pick everybody talked about for months. I thought Darnold would be a dream come true, but whatever. They didn't get Bowers. Bad fit for Bowers going to the Raiders, but he's a good player. Obviously, we're wishing him well, maybe not too well to make us look bad. But Fashanu, the way I kind of look at this pick was, you know, it's almost like you're living in, like, you know, Colorado where it snows all year, right? You got your selection of cars. You really want to go get that fancy sports car, rear-wheel drive, take off the hood, and go for a nice drive. But you can't do that in the snow and in the inclement weather because it's just not going to work. You're not going to fully enjoy the experience. And this is kind of like getting that all-wheel drive, good on gas. You're really thankful that you have it one day when it gets bad outside. And look, we could be having this problem sooner before we know it, right? With the way we went through offensive linemen last year and Tyron Smith's injury history, I think there will be one day, because I do believe in Fashanu as a player. That was never my issue. I think there will be one day, whether that's this year, whether that's in the future, where we're really happy to have this guy on the team. And even this year, like, God forbid, if Tyron Smith gets hurt, if it may be when, hopefully not, but we're going to be looking back on this and thinking, good thing we went with Fashanu, because I do believe in the player. So, and they did things afterwards that made me feel better about the whole thing.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And like you, like your comparison, like, it wasn't like the sexy pick. I think that's what,
like getting socks on Christmas, right?
Yeah. Like, definitely a necessity, but like, it's like, you know, I kind of wanted something else. But yeah, no, I would definitely agree. I think like Fashanu, whether we like it or not, is probably going to end up playing this year. And you know, just off the history of our O-line injuries, like, he's going to play at some point this year. And again, we're just going off of the history. And I think, I don't remember what year it was exactly, but we started like five different tackles or something like that. Some crazy number. So
it was in 21. Yeah. We just went through them.
like I said before, I'm not trying to see Max Mitchell or the Billy Turners of the world getting meaningful starts. So I'm definitely happier about this pick than I was probably on Thursday.
Yeah, the rest of the depth chart at tackle, you have to feel better about. I think Carter Warren is like that extra insurance policy you feel better about, even if you have to get to Max Mitchell at some point. You know, he has NFL starting experience. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but at least it's a guy who started a lot of football games over the last 2 years. But with Fashanu, here's my question with Fashanu, because I was surprised the Jets took him if they went O-line, because I thought maybe they would go with Fuaga, who they thought maybe could play guard. Maybe he could play both tackle spots. Same thing with Troy Fatanu out of Washington. With Fashanu, if, let's just say hypothetically, Morgan Moses got hurt, is Fashanu the next guy up to play right tackle, or are they strictly making him learn left tackle for what they envision him in the franchise, right? Like, could he play guard if AVT got hurt again, or if AVT isn't ready, if maybe John Simpson is struggling? Like, I wonder how versatile they're going to play it with Fashanu and not really worry about stunting his growth at left tackle. That should be an interesting component of training camp, seeing where Fashanu was practicing each day.
That's definitely a great point. I mean, and based off what he said, and I don't want to misquote him, but he pretty much said like he's willing to play any position on the offensive line. I think they asked him about potentially playing guard this year. And he said he's never played there before, but like, you know, he's obviously willing to do what's best for the team, all that good stuff. And like, I think that's great, but I also don't want a situation similar to AVT where like dudes are getting hurt. I'm not saying AVT got hurt because of the, like, him switching positions, but like, you want to keep your young guys usually in one spot and like have them practice and develop in that spot, which should be left tackle for Olu.
Yeah. And you know, playing left tackle is obviously not easy in the NFL. And you do wonder that, you know, maybe if they played him at guard, or if they play, because it's different footwork at each position. Like, this is not just go out there and block the guy. Like, there's obviously more of a craft to playing offensive line in the NFL. Like, I almost just want him just to sit back and learn. And if he has to go in there and play left tackle, you have to remember too, this is actually really important. In training camp, I don't think Tyron Smith is hardly going to practice, right? Because the Cowboys all throughout the week didn't let him practice, and then just to keep him fresh for game day and have him out there. Fashanu is going to get a ton of practice reps, probably at left tackle. So that whole situation should be interesting. I wonder, here's my thing. If they do envision him playing other positions, I still think maybe they call David Bakhtiari or somebody else that could be. I definitely think they need help on the interior after not really addressing it in this draft. But that's something, because I think if they go, if you see the Jets sign another veteran tackle, not Billy Turner, but like what they did last year with Billy Turner, that could play left or maybe right tackle, even though Bakhtiari is pretty much primarily a left tackle too, so maybe he's not the best example. I think that should be a pretty good indication on how they think Olu will contribute this year. So hopefully we don't see him at all. Hopefully it's a perfect world where we're like the Buffalo Bills last year, starting the same five offensive linemen, but certainly a guy that I think will pay off dividends for the Jets in the long run, and maybe even sooner rather than later. And speaking of a guy who could get a ton of practice reps this summer in training camp, Malachi Corley, the Jets really wanted. Our friends over at U Stadium reported that before the draft. They reported that after the first round that the Jets really liked Corley. They had him in for the top 30 visit. You had the text exchange with Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas referencing draft day, no matter what. So pretty cool, pretty authentic thing that the Jets captured, even though like typical Hollywood Jets cinema fashion right there. But Malachi Corley comes in, different skill set. Do you like the pick? How do you see him contributing this year?
I like the pick. I think, and I'm just talking about this year, of course, I think he'll probably play a lot in the slot. Obviously, you can move him around just because of his ability after the catch. You might see him on a lot of end arounds or just like different ways that you can use him, which I like. And I think he's a lot better suited for that position than Xavier Gibson, who I think is like just more of a gadget guy. You kind of use him more on the punt return, kickoffs, things like that. So I'm definitely happy with the pick. Again, third round, like, I think this guy gets compared a lot to Deebo Samuel. I don't know if he's as big as Deebo Samuel, but like similar player mold, if you will. So I'm definitely happy about the pick. And I definitely think, again, like if utilized correctly, like this could be a really good selection for this team.
Totally agree on that front. I think the only real, I don't want to say gripe about it, is I still think this team is a Mike Williams not being ready to go type of situation away from being pretty bad of having Alan Lazard out there on the field in particular, and Xavier Gibson, Jason Brownlee. I think this team, I don't think he solely solved the pass catcher need for this team. I still think that ideally I would have loved to have seen Garrett play multiple spots of the field, whether it's the X, the Z, or playing in the slot. You can't really do that with Garrett now. I think with this addition, you have to have Corley play primarily in the slot, and Garrett will have to stay outside. I think maybe if you get another pass catcher, maybe you can, you know, play matchups and whatnot. But look, he definitely fills the type of player that this offense needs to make things happen after the catch. I think Aaron Rodgers in particular, the way he gets rid of the ball so quick and how he's just such a, I don't want to say he's like Peyton Manning, but he's almost kind of like a general out there. Where how many times, where we even saw it in the preseason a little bit, but how many times watching the Packers over the years, Aaron Rodgers saw, look, right, they're stacking the box, they're sending the heat, and he throws a little slip screen out to Randall Cobb or Devontae Adams or somebody like that, and it goes for a big chunk play, making those playmakers do the work after the catch because they have a good matchup. I think Rodgers will be able to exploit those matchups and put Corley in those positions to make the magic happen with the ball in his hands. But with Corley, I think he's going to be used. We had Connor Livesey on. He's the 61st player on his big board. We actually talked about Corley a little bit in the pre-draft show when I said, that seems like a lot of people had him in their top 10. He didn't have him in his top 10. It's a deep class, but we talked to him about it. He'll be a little bit more of a gadget player. And what Connor was telling us was he'd like to see him kind of refine and develop more as a route runner. Maybe that could come with NFL coaching. Maybe putting on a little bit more muscle mass will help him create more separation. Maybe he can develop as a player. But I think from year one, this is a guy the Jets should have designed plays for in their playbook. Look to get involved early and often, create easy plays to take that pressure off of Aaron Rodgers. But certainly not upset with this pick. I don't hate moving up for him, because if you have a guy you really like, look at all the fourth round picks and fifth round. I mean, we didn't need 7 day 3 picks on this roster. So I was good with it. Still think they need another pass catcher, maybe Tyler Boyd. He's still out there as a free agent. Valdez Scantling is out there, but that's not really like exciting me whatsoever. Boyd kind of would. But I think this team, which we'll talk about, this is a very good transition here. I think this team realizes that it could go really bad with the Raiders, right? Maybe Devontae Adams is available. Maybe Deebo Samuel becomes available, or Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins. I think this team is definitely in the market when that next pass catcher becomes available via trade. I think this team is in good position having all their picks next year and acquiring a third round pick on day 3 of the draft. There was tons of maneuvering by Joe Douglas with those 3 fourth round picks, acquiring a third round pick for next year. Just before we talk about the selections on day 3 of the draft, did you like all the maneuvering on the board? Did you like getting that third round pick from Detroit? What do you think there about all? What were you thinking during that whole ordeal?
There was definitely a lot of moves, but I mean, we've seen Joe Douglas do this over the years, like so many times. Like he's moved around on day 3 probably almost every year. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but it just seems like it. And yeah, man, like a third round pick, an extra third round pick rather, is huge for trade purposes. Like you said, like, how many we've seen wide receivers go for fifth round picks. So imagine, you know, what we could potentially get if we are able to dangle that extra third round pick that we have. And like you said, man, I think we definitely, I would love to have another like dominant pass catcher on this team. I think we have like solid to good guys on this team, which is great, but I want better, and I want to strive for greatness, especially with, you know, the Super Bowl expectations that Aaron Rodgers probably has.
Totally agree. And I think they also see that. And I think that that trade kind of indicates that, because I don't think this team, I mean, we saw them trade a 2026 third round pick for Hassan Reddick. I don't think they're thinking too much about future draft picks. I think that was acquired for the sole purpose to use in a deal somewhere, somehow. And the selection of Corley, I don't think takes them out of the running of acquiring Davante Adams or whoever becomes available via trade. So that's definitely a situation to watch. But onto the guys the Jets did select on day three of the draft. They kicked it off after a bevy of trades, taking running back Braylon Allen, a guy who I was really high on before the draft, a running back out of Wisconsin, jacked out of his mind, only 20 years old. Connor Livesey's number 5 overall player on the big board, running back 8. So at the time the Jets picked, he was the best available running back. I checked. Jets did pretty good there with value. Change of pace from Breece Hall. I was definitely fine with Allen being the pick there.
Yeah, and I think what excites me the most about him is like just his ability and pass protection. I think that's something that we definitely needed. I don't think Izzy is ever going to fill that role for us. And obviously, like, there are not a lot of 3-down backs in the NFL. Like, you need multiple guys in there for different purposes and different things like that. So I like Allen. I think that's like, especially in his rookie year, like that's probably where he's going to have the most opportunity to plays on third downs. But who knows? Maybe he'll get some, you know, short yard situations and things like that.
Yeah, that totally agree. I'm not the biggest fan of Izzy Abanaconda. I saw nothing from him as a rookie to where I go, you know what, the scholarship's still on. He deserves a spot on the team next year. We'll talk about the other running back the Jets picked, but I think them doubling up on running backs is a pretty big indictment on Izzy's development, but certainly a story to be seen. I want to talk about the Jets' next pick at 171 in the fifth round. The Jets traded up with the Eagles. I think once they saw Spencer Rattler go to the Saints, they go, okay, you know what? It's time to go get our quarterback before some other stuff happens. Jordan Travis, a guy that you and I have definitely talked about here on this program. Take us through Jordan Travis. I think it's a very valid dart throw by them as they try to establish some type of pipeline of quarterbacks.
Yeah, very valid for me. I think before he got injured, Jordan Travis was definitely a Heisman candidate. And like, obviously he has talent. A fifth round pick, especially coming off the injury, like it's going to give him this full year to just learn from Tyrod, learn from Aaron Rodgers, and just sit and learn and how to be an NFL quarterback. And I think that's the thing that we were kind of, obviously a fifth round pick versus number 2 overall pick is a lot different, but I think a guy like Zach Wilson would have benefited from a situation like this where he's just sitting a year, learning the ropes a little bit and kind of seeing where things go from there. But that's how I feel about Jordan Travis, man. I think he has a lot of talent, and who knows, man, maybe a year or two down the line, he could either be a really good backup or potentially be a starter. So I'm all for that.
What's really interesting with Travis is you kind of have to wonder yourself, if he doesn't get hurt, Florida State goes undefeated, they make the college football playoff, probably over, they have to make it if they're undefeated, right? I don't know. You have to wonder who they make it over, maybe over Texas. What if Jordan Travis goes out there in the first round of the college football playoff and lights it up against Washington and they beat Michael Penix and they go to the national championship? And I would say that Florida State's a tougher opponent for Michigan than Washington was. And I'm just saying, what if he was the one that either won or was showing out in the college football playoff? With the way quarterbacks went, we saw Bo Nix go 12. Is Jordan Travis at worst an early second round pick if he was healthy and showing out and putting up a Heisman type of season and right? Like on the biggest stage? I think that's a fair question. And this is a guy that can, I'm glad you brought up Tyrod Taylor, because I think Aaron Rodgers, folks, Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old coming off an Achilles. May or may not be in the right frame of mind most of the time when he is, I don't know. I think that's a fair question. Lord knows what he's thinking. I think he has more important things to worry about. I'm not going to say like he's going to give Jordan Travis the cold shoulder or anything, but I don't think Jordan Travis's development is at the forefront of his mind right now. in this stage of his career. But you mentioned Tyrod Taylor. That's the perfect veteran mentor. I think if you're Jordan Travis, you got to latch on to Tyrod Taylor as the backup quarterback, seeing how a backup prepares, starting up off the ground, right? Seeing how Tyrod goes about his business. And I think Tyrod Taylor is like, they have very similar games where they both move their legs really well. They both throw really nice deep balls, right? They have big arms. They're really good athletes, right? Maybe Jordan Travis just needs to learn more of the nuances of playing quarterback from the inside out, right? Pocket presence, right? Pre-game preparations throughout the week, right? The chalkboard, all the X's and O's of playing quarterback rather than just being an athlete out there. I think Tyrod Taylor is the perfect guy to learn from. And Tyrod, being the backup quarterback, will be able to give more resources to Jordan Travis. It's not like you have Zach Wilson as the backup this year, where Zach Wilson doesn't give a rat's tail about Jordan Travis. Probably viewed him as a threat if this were last year. So perfect comparison, perfect guy for the Jets to take. You know, there was Michael Pratt out there who went in the seventh round, but Pratt doesn't have the ceiling that Travis does. So I was really happy to see this. I was expecting Michael Pratt if they took a quarterback, but I was pleasantly surprised with Jordan Travis. And moving on here, the Jets went back to the well at running back, taking Isaiah Davis with the 173rd overall pick. A little surprised they doubled up on running backs. I think we could agree.
I was definitely surprised. I kind of wanted to go a different route with this pick, potentially filling the interior of the offensive line. We could have taken a receiver here, but knowing the Jets, they always throw in a wrench in the plan. But I don't know too much about Isaiah Davis. I'm curious to see how or where he plays exactly. But doubling up on running back is definitely a sign that, you know, there's a competition for RB2 and RB3 exactly. And Izzy has to show up. And obviously he's more of a speedster, but yeah. There's definitely plans where he might not be on this team this year.
Yeah, a really weird selection, one that we didn't see coming. You brought up the interior of the O-line. I'm like, you had my buddy Nicky Spano was going over at U Stadium was going nuts too, and I definitely shared the same sentiment. He was like, Mahogany's right there at Boston College. He ranked really highly on Connor Livesey's big board too. He was definitely at a much higher grade than a round five grade. So Jets, I mean, this is what's frustrating about the way Joe Douglas has done drafts, where, you know, there's Trey Smith out there in 2021. Everyone knew Trey Smith was a starting guard, right? Like, these teams, look at every year in free agency, these guards that get paid big money, they're all drafted on day three of the draft. Like, you can find starting interior O-linemen on day three of the draft, and Joe Douglas has drafted one interior offensive lineman in his five drafts here, and that's Cameron Clark, who retired from football. A little frustrating, not something to really scream about and, you know, jump up and down, but I don't know. I didn't agree with it. People are saying that maybe Davis can be a special teams ace. I mean, he didn't play special teams though in college. So I don't see the projection there. Maybe it's just him and Izzy duel it out for the third running back spot. Be interesting to see if the Jets sign a veteran running back before training camp, right? Like, Ezekiel Elliott was the guy that we kind of talked about, but he's back with the Cowboys now. There's Jerick McKinnon who's out there. I think McKinnon would be the perfect complement to Breece. I mean, he could do all three phases, right? Where he can pass protect, he can run between the tackles, he can catch passes. It's another thing I like about Braylon Allen, by the way. He's a very good pass protector at that big frame. I think you'll see a lot of him on third downs helping out in pass protection. That big boy, he's not really much of a receiver, but he could certainly help chip off the edge. So that's definitely another aspect of his game that I think will get him on the field early. Maybe Breece, Nathaniel Hackett learned that he can catch passes three quarters into last season. Maybe Breece will be lined up wide on third downs. We could use him more as a receiver with Allen in the back. I don't know. I'm not an offensive coordinator, but maybe Nathaniel Hackett will, maybe with Malachi Corley, maybe Nathaniel Hackett will know ways to get him the ball and knows that you have to design plays for him. Maybe that can be grasped before the season starts. Maybe. So Davis was a surprise, whatever, fifth round pick. I also think that this is, and you see like the area scouts calling these guys, maybe it's just Joe Douglas, like day three of the draft, who do you guys like? You know, this is going to be your pick. Maybe he's doing that. I don't agree with that, but whatever. So whatever, fifth round pick, we're not hitting on all these draft picks.
Yeah, facts.
You know, so whatever. So the Jets, that was the Jets' start of the draft. They come back. They take this kid, Quantez Stiggers, from the CFL. Really good story. Really a guy you want to root for. Taking corners, DJ Reed in a walk year. Maybe he can develop into something. They take him, and then they take, with Mr. Irrelevant, Jalen Key. Kind of wanted a tight end there, maybe an offensive player, but whatever. Say 20. We needed one player that was 24 years old that plays in the secondary. I'm surprised he's not a hybrid linebacker safety. We didn't get one of those this draft, but two secondary players, not really much to have a gripe about, I don't think.
Yeah, these are definitely developmental picks here. I mean, I'm interested to see what Stiggers can do. Obviously, we've seen the reports from everyone saying they're really interested to see what he can do. He can play all over the field, things like that. So we'll see how he develops. The Jets do have a great cornerback coach, excuse me. So we'll see how he can develop. And granted, the Jets have three really good to great cornerbacks already. So definitely good to see how this all progresses. And obviously with the safety, you know, I'm not going to talk too much about Jaden Key, but I think we were bound to take a safety. I think you talked about it a couple episodes ago, but just a guy to get in there for sure.
Justin Simmons is still hanging out at home.
He could be had. He could be had.
Yeah, Justin Simmons would be a welcomed addition. Before we get into the UDFAs, the Jets made news on day three of the draft by trading John Franklin Myers. Thoughts?
I mean, you called it, man.
Yeah.
You called it. But I want to see how we replace him, because I definitely think, like, granted, he had his moments of where you wanted to like kick your TV, but
God,
he also had a solid moments as well. And like, he was a great locker room guy, things like that. So I think we need another body there to replace him. Obviously a cheaper option, but this just bodes well for Jermaine Johnson and Hassan Reddick to potentially be signed long-term, and who knows what Will McDonald can do. Not so. We will see how this all unfolds, but I definitely think they need to get another defensive end in here.
I mean, JFM, folks, JFM's the type of player, he's not adding another win to your win total. He had 15 tackles last year. He has not forced a fumble in his whole tenure of being here. I think the Jets will be all right.
They'll be okay.
JFM on the defensive line, all right? I mean, JFM, like, was, I mean, everyone's like, oh, against the run, maybe the Jets will... The Jets struggled against the run with JFM playing out there on rundowns last year. So I don't really get that either. And I don't want to call JFM like a losing or an undisciplined player, but JFM theoretically lost us more games than we've won over the years, right? I mean, look at the Patriots game, for instance. I mean, the Dallas game, roughing the passer against the Bengals, right? The game was, Bengals were getting off the field, Jets still in it. John Franklin Myers roughing the passer, next play. Joe Burrow to Tyler Boyd, ironically enough, 70-yard touchdown. Like, JFM, I'm sorry, like, we can survive without JFM, and he was not worth the contract he was being paid, and the Jets needed to cover whatever it was for the draft class. The Jets can still maneuver the salary cap with maybe tweaking Quinnen Williams's money. I don't know if they touch Quinnen yet, but that's one that they can work on. If they extend Hassan Reddick long-term, they can make the cap hit very minimal this year, so they can go get Justin Simmons or Tyler Boyd or whatever veteran. Joe Douglas each year has signed a veteran in the summertime, right? First year was Morgan Moses. Then it was Quan Alexander. Then it was Dwayne Brown. And then it was Dalvin Cook. So Joe Douglas is active before training camp starts and getting veteran players in here. So I don't think we need to sit here and cry about JFM or Zach Wilson, of all people, going to Denver. Like, these were two players that we did not need. And rather than cutting them for nothing, Joe Douglas was able to get an asset for them. I think this is a win for the Jets.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think, listen, like I said, he had his moments where you were cursing him out. I think he had his solid moments, but like I said before, I think
he's a guy.
I think this bodes well for Hassan Reddick. I think he's going to eat in this defense. One guy I forgot to mention, Michael Clemens, like, he will probably fill into that JFM role where he's mostly playing on the running down. So we'll see, man. I definitely want to see more of Michael Clemens for sure. I think he's a solid player, but he's going to have to step up this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe get Calais Campbell on the horn. I know the Jets wanted him last year. He's out there. But Jets, another very good transition here. They kick off undrafted free agency. They get a player who is ranked 149th on Connor Livesey's big board of overall players. He had about a round 5 grade on Leonard Taylor, the third defensive tackle from Miami. It makes me really wonder what Leonard Taylor, the third, was doing, because I read somewhere that he could have got like $600,000 of NIL money if he stayed at Miami, and now he's on a UDFA contract fighting for the roster. Like, I don't know. Just really random tangent here. But the NFL, if you go undrafted, you should almost have the option of going back to college. Like, doesn't the NBA do that, where you can enter the draft and maintain your college eligibility if you don't get drafted? Like, I don't know. Is that a thing in the NBA? I was reading that this year.
The NBA, it's where it's like basically there's like two different deadlines to declare for the draft. A lot of guys obviously like declare just to like check out their draft stock, I guess. They hear from the scouts, coaches, things like that. If they're hearing, oh, well, you're probably going to be a second round pick, most likely they're just going back to school. So there's two separate deadlines that they have to like go through to determine if they're actually in the draft or not.
Okay, that's good to know. I think they need that for the NFL, but whatever. Leonard Taylor III is here. This is a guy that was obviously a draftable player, according to Connor Livesey, among others. This was a guy that, like, in November was being rumored as a first-round pick. And the reason why he fell in the draft, according to Connor Livesey's big board, was just inconsistent efforts, looked better in 22 than he did in 23. This is just a talented player that looks like he needs to be coached up. And believe it or not, the Jets have had fallen on hard times on day 3 of the draft in recent years. But with UDFAs, they found some guys that can play. For instance, look at the contract that Bryce Huff got. Right? Like, they developed him. Tony Adams is a starting safety for them. Two undrafted rookies made the team last year in Brownlee and Gibson. The Jets have had luck with UDFAs, and maybe a talented player like this being in this defense, maybe he can be something for the Jets. So I certainly like the shout there.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And like I said before, like, we definitely need another guy on that defensive line, especially against the run. I think that's where, with Al Woods out last year, like, we struggled badly. And obviously, I don't expect this kid to step in and be a starter or anything like that, but we definitely need to just find bodies in here that can stop the run.
Yeah, the Jets stay on the front lines with Braden McGregor out of Michigan, a guy that definitely could have gotten drafted off the edge, just one of those like scrappy type of guys. Maybe he doesn't jump off the page athletically. Again, the Jets found Bryce Huff as an undrafted free agent. This is another guy that had plenty of suitors, but he chose the Jets. I think if you're an agent of these UDFAs, and if you play on the defensive line in particular, I think I would be going like, yeah, get to the Jets. They seem to have some type of special sauce here with developing these UDFA defensive linemen. And the last UDFA that I want to talk about, Tyler Harrell, wide receiver who apparently ran a 4.19 that was undocumented for. I think he ran a 4.28 at Miami's pro day, can fly, and he's 6 foot. And it's not like he's like 5'5", you know, 140 pounds soaking wet. Like, this is real speed here. He didn't have he's been to three different schools, where he was at Louisville, then he went to Alabama, then he went to Miami his last year of college. This is just a really fast player that I hope makes the team, because I think that element of speed can definitely be utilized. At worst, maybe he could be their kick return guy.
Yeah, like I said, like, you always want to bring, especially on the offensive side, just bring in some undrafted guys with some speed, because you really never know what they can turn into. Like you said, special teams, a gadget guy here or there, like, definitely on board with signings like that.
That's kind of like the guy I'm going to be following. I want to see if he gets like a little bit of run, because
he'll be playing in the preseason if things progress well for him. But I am definitely excited. I mean, who knows? He could, I don't know, compete with Xavier Gibson. We shall see.
Maybe a guy that you could even stash on the practice squad. Maybe. I don't know, but that's certainly a name to keep an eye on. My God. I mean, that's fast. Like, when I saw that, I go, whoa. Like, good. Like that was one that definitely caught my eye. And, you know, with the Jets in this draft, like, they need some contributors from this draft class. I think this year they may have to call upon rookies long term. I hate to say it, but if you're telling me Jordan Travis is the biggest hit in this entire draft class and he's the franchise quarterback, I'm good. Like we all talk about Fashanu, Corley, like all these other guys. Maybe Jordan Travis is, you know, the Jets have been drafting first round quarterbacks for how knows how long, and they've been throwing them into the fire. Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, the guy we've been searching for this whole time is fifth round pick Jordan Travis. Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be something? And I think long term, it's kind of an obvious answer. I think I'm most excited to see Olu Fashanu, but I think this year Malachi Corley will have the biggest impact as a rookie. I think that's my prediction.
Yeah, assuming Tyron Smith gives us something rather than the Dwayne Brown route. But my God, wouldn't that be something if they brought that guy back? Is he retired yet? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Good God. What a note to end the program on. That will do it for this edition of the Jets Way podcast. Please leave us that 5-star review, follow, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and we will see you on the next one, breaking down the NFL schedule. We also have some guests joining us throughout the offseason to talk about the draft leading up to training camp, but schedule release is next week. Very important. Very, 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 very important. The Jets could be going to London as well, so that's important. We'll be here to break it all down. Have a great week. Enjoy the Knicks 3-1 against the Sixers.
Yes, sir.
Maybe they close it out at the Garden tomorrow, and then the Rangers are off to the next round, and we got our baseball. But everyone enjoy your weeks, and as always, go Jets. Yep.